thought you knew, but you have no idea. It's the Urban Sports Scene.
Happy New Year. You are listening to the Urban Sports Scene with Wally. Will T. Raise out. What's good, Will T?
Nothing much. Happy New Year, my brother.
Happy New
Year. I've already said Happy New Year to you out.
I know.
Off the microphone.
But you know what?
It's not official until other people hear.
Official until other folks hear Happy New Year. We've been going for a while. I have to tell folks that, I had a passing in the family. My father passed away. I want to dedicate the show to my father. I love the dude. He's very inspirational to me in my life. And also, in terms, Will T and Ray have always seen how I argue a lot. Even when I'm wrong, I get that from my father. That was his thing. When I used to argue with him nonstop, he would be wrong. I'm like, dude, you're frustrated. Then I would be wrong. So we had to ebb and flow with that. It's a lot to have in the sports too.
It is. There's a lot that's going on locally.
When we talk about Clemson.
Yeah, locally and nationally,
What locally?
Reuben Foster's.
I said it. I'm just saying.
I'm
going to say this.
There's circumstances that we may not know about.
Exactly. But I will say that all I'm saying is this is my point about that situation. That chick has been deemed a liar before, right? No, I'm saying his accuser in a whole different situation. She did jail time for lying on another dude.
Okay.
Same thing. Same exact, putting her hands on him. Not to say it didn't happen. I'm not saying it didn't happen with Reuben Foster, but I'm just saying, like, in terms of we're looking at the judicial system, you need evidence. You have to prove something.
Yes.
You know what I mean? No one knows what happened. Let's keep it a buck. No one knows what happened.
None of us know what
exactly
happened.
Exactly. But at the same time, we've become a society. This is what's bothering me. We've become a society. When anybody says anything, we just believe it like it's the gospel. We used to never be that way. It used to be proven, until proven guilty. But now we become a society, especially with athletes. If someone said it happened, it happened.
Okay. John Wall's out for the rest of the season.
Yes, and Bradley Beal's balling.
What else happened locally?
Maryland's ranked. Maryland's college basketball. Ranked.
Maryland also has a new football head coach.
Yes, from Alabama.
Yep.
Trying to get
Mike Hurt, Locksley.
And trying to get Hurts potentially.
Yeah, Jalen Hurts. Let's see. Washington football team's fired their COO.
Yes. And they've given Bruce Allen more control.
More power.
Yeah.
What else happened since we left?
Let's see. What else happened?
I don't know. We'll get into it, man. But let's get into our tradition, the pregame.
All right. Here are our topics. We'll recap the Washington Redskins season at 8:20. We'll recap the NFL playoff games over the weekend. At 8:40, we'll preview the NFC and AFC title games. At 8:50, we'll debate if the Washington Wizards are a better team with Bradley Beal leading the squad. But first, the Washington Redskins, they finished the season 7-9. Alex Smith went down for, midseason. They were 6-3, went out for the season with that nasty leg injury. Excuse me. Did the season typically end once he went down?
No.
All right. So,
No, I don't believe so. Mm-hmm. As Ray and myself told you many times, this was a heavily flawed team.
Yes, it was a flawed team. There are a lot of flawed teams in postseason.
Extremely flawed team.
That's true. There's a lot of flawed teams in the postseason.
I'm not going to go into that debate with you.
Go ahead, continue.
This was a very flawed team. They were dependent upon a 34-year-old running back.
Well, with over 1,000 yards, which I did kind of.
Yeah,
who I called that though too.
You did. Who had over 1,000 yards? A quarterback that had shown outside of maybe a couple of seasons in Kansas City was Captain Checkdown.
Mm-hmm.
A passionate and volatile leader on the defense who was later cut.
A leader.
He was voted the captain by the players in that locker room.
Mm-hmm.
After being here for 2 years,
I liked him.
I always said if a guy can come into your locker room and be here for 2 years and you vote him a captain, something's wrong with your locker room.
I don't know. Some people are natural.
No. You had homegrown talent on the defensive side of the ball.
But name an individual on that team that you would deem, other than DJ, homegrown talent, right? As a captain.
Kerrigan.
I mean, Trent was a captain. Trent was a captain. Trent was a captain.
Trent.
But wasn't he
Kerrigan.
Like... Mm-hmm. I wouldn't call Kerrigan... I wouldn't call Ryan Kerrigan a captain.
See, this... Why wouldn't you call him a captain?
Your personality.
See, this, captain, this is the question. See, this is...
Because you know...
I'm not going to say question, but the issue, and I apologize for cutting you off.
You go ahead.
But always, this is the issue I have with people when it comes to leadership or captain.
Yeah.
People think you have to be raw, loud and boisterous to be
a
leader.
Agree. I totally agree.
You don't. You could be someone who just does it... with their play.
I agree.
And provide an example on and off the field and in the locker room.
I'm giving an example. Like, Alex Smith in that locker room was a leader. He was. He wasn't a rah-rah guy. He was a leader. Players attested to that. He was a leader. Another guy that everyone says that potentially could be a leader for that squad is Jonathan Allen. Jonathan Allen barely talks, to be honest with you. He only talks when it's serious. Again, a leader. There are guys, Kerrigan isn't that guy. Kerrigan, again, you could be a leader with play. I agree with you. But Kerrigan just isn't that guy. And you could be a leader. I mean, you could be awesome as a football player and not be a leader. Am I correct? Because you play well doesn't make you a leader.
That's absolutely
so
true.
So I'm just saying, like, when you look at Ryan Kerrigan, I don't look at him, not because he's a rah-rah guy. Because, again, Jonathan Allen to me was a leader. But he wasn't a rah-rah guy. Jonathan Allen just did his job. You know what I mean? So that thing, I feel like leadership is an or. It's something that you see. Like, you see it, you're like, okay, yeah, that dude's a leader. It's not like you could talk and be the loudest dude in the world, like a DJ Swearinger. But there's things you do, like there are things you could lead verbally, but are you leading the right way? You know what I mean? Like, I like John Wall. Let me just use John Wall example. John Wall is very boisterous. John Wall ain't a good leader. And I love John Wall. I don't like, you know, he'll take himself out of the equation. He'll say, like, I'm leading my guys. If a leader, to be honest, which in a team aspect, incorporates himself within the bunch, in my opinion.
Yes.
So right. So I'm just saying, like, you can be the biggest baddest dude with your mouth skills. Pause. That ain't sound right.
Really didn't sound right.
Yeah. I'm gonna let you live. Yeah, it didn't sound right. But that doesn't make you a big leader.
I understand what you're trying to say.
But I know what you're saying, though. Like, yeah, when you have somebody like DJ Swearinger, because he was boisterous that he's like a captain, then, you know, it's not a good thing for the locker room. I agree with you on this point. Having a guy like DJ Swearinger as a leader wasn't a good thing. You would want somebody who, one, understands the dynamics of a team and of an organization and how to keep things in-house. That type of person, and still be boisterous. You can be boisterous. I'm not saying you can't. That to me would encompass a real leader.
Okay. I mean, some would say that you could potentially beat people. It could be filmed, or you could be accused of beating women and you can maintain a job.
Who's here. That?
But if you speak out against the coaching staff,
who beat a woman on video?
I said you could beat someone on video and or.
Oh, you talking about dude? Oh, you talking about Monte Nicholson?
Yes, and maintain the job, dude.
You don't think that ever in life that DJ Swearinger ain't put his hands on somebody?
I'm not saying he hasn't.
I don't think beating somebody up does not vilify you of being there just because
I'm not.
Video.
I'm not vilifying.
Okay,
anyone.
I'm just saying.
I'm just saying that.
Look,
I come out and speak against the coaching staff twice.
Yeah,
you get rid of me.
But dog, like in terms of football culture, in football, right? This team, we're talking about the team. You're under again.
I understand what you're trying. I know what you're trying. Football culture is a militaristic culture where you have to fall in line and follow orders.
Exactly.
It's everyone is vanilla, plain Jane, and you have to follow to T and you follow the commander's orders.
Dexter Manley was doing dirt. There's a lot of people outside of Lawrence Taylor's a prime example was doing dirt outside of football. You're not gonna hold on a football field. Lawrence Taylor would fall in line with Bill Parcells. You dig what I'm saying? Like, so at the end of I don't get outside of football.
Not all the time.
But he would fall in line with Bill Parcells most of the time, right? Mm. Talent always dictates everything too. Let's not get it twisted.
Okay.
But when you look at DJ, this is my thing with DJ. I blame the coach staff for DJ. If this makes any sense. I blame the coach staff for DJ. If you had an issue with DJ, you should nip that crap in the butt early. Like, and what I mean by that is that when DJ said it mouthed off the first time, you benched DJ. But you didn't bench him. So now DJ feels like he can say whatever and you ain't gonna do nothing about it. Like, this coaching staff didn't do anything to reprimand DJ at all. So I wouldn't have cut DJ. So I'm put that out there. I wouldn't have cut DJ. But I understood cutting DJ because it got to a point. But I put it on, like, again, that's the coaching staff's fault because you enabled it. You let it get this far. You know what I mean? And you did a cop out by cutting him. Truth be told, what DJ was saying, truth or wrong, was your fault. Because you could have stopped that crap if you said, hey, DJ, you on the bench, this week. I guarantee DJ doesn't talk like that again.
I mean, that's fair.
You know what I mean? This whole season for the Skins has been up and down. It's a lot they have to fix. They have to get situated.
Well, that's what I was telling you when they were 6-3. There's a lot of things that are flawed. Lot of flaws on that roster.
I'm different from you and Ray. Like, 6-3, it was Alex Smith. Alex Smith has always been a dude, regardless of his. He's always had flaws on other teams, but for some strange reason, his teams have always been able to be over 500. Like, Alex Smith was undefeated against the NFC at the time. He was NFC East at the time. He was undefeated against the NFC East at the time. After Alex Smith, they lost every game against the NFC East. I'm just saying, Alex Smith on this team, regardless of the gaudy numbers, because you have gaudy numbers and still not win. Kirk Cousins, Alex Smith wins games. You know what I mean? I'm not saying they were going to the Super Bowl after 6-3. But I'm saying they would have won games with Alex Smith.
I'm sure if you rewind the tape.
That's a Super Bowl? Probably did. That sounds like me.
If you rewind the tape, I think I distinctively remember
Super Bowl?
You saying,
I said Super Bowl? It sounds like
playoff.
Me.
Playoffs at the very least.
Look, I'm confident they were making the playoffs with Alex Smith. They were gonna beat the Giants. I know that with Alex Smith. They could beat the Giants with Alex Smith.
Okay, if you say so.
You know what I mean? Like, they got demolished by the Giants with Sanchez and
Josh Johnson
as the quarterbacks. Yeah. And Josh Johnson was better than Sanchez, and that dude barely played football. You know what I mean? Like, that's a problem. That's a serious problem. All right, the fans want change. They want Bruce out. We talked about that a little bit. They even have a hashtag called Fire Bruce Allen. I mean, I know you're not a Washington football fan, but if you were a fan of the Washington football team, what does this organization need to do to be a contender next season?
I'm going to break it down. It starts at the very, very top.
Okay.
You have an owner who doesn't feel, and I get it, you know, you own a team, you feel as if it's yours.
Mm-hmm.
You aren't responsible to anyone. But the reality is, as the owner, you do own a team, but you are the steward of that team for the fan base.
Mm-hmm.
Consistently, year after year, this team has a terrible record, or, you know, under his leadership.
Yeah, they haven't been good. They've been one of the poor franchises in the NFL.
And he's refused to come out here and address the fan base.
I know. He's so tacky.
For better or worse, no matter what you can say about Jerry Jones,
this is true. Jerry Jones
is front and center. If things go good, he says, it's me.
Uh-huh.
If things go better, if things go bad, he says, we need to get better as an organization.
Yeah.
He doesn't totally place it upon himself.
Oh, I agree.
Sometimes. But, you know, I think
Jerry Jones is a better owner.
You're starting to see, I mean, towards the end of the season, I don't know, we haven't reconvened and talked about this a lot. Uh-huh. But towards the end of the season, I would catch some of the games, glimpses of the game.
Yeah.
That stadium looked pretty, it didn't look as full as it usually would.
No, it wasn't.
And I think,
I got word of that.
Yeah,
it wasn't.
And I think that's you starting to see a revolt by the fan base.
It's coming little by little.
You're starting to see fans say, hey, you're giving me piss poor quality on the field. You're staying with the same upper management that has produced absolutely nothing.
Mm-hmm.
You, Daniel Snyder, as an owner, as a leader of this organization, don't hold yourself accountable to the fan base. We're not going to come. And I think once the dollars stop coming in, that's when you'll see the change. But you won't see that change until Bruce Allen is able to negotiate a sweet stadium deal for him from either D.C., Maryland, or Virginia.
That's the only reason why he still has a job, in my opinion. But, you know, Bruce is going to stay. I mean, that's already been reported. Bruce Allen's going to stay. And we talked about it. He has more power within non-football, like non-roster activities. He's going to do things on the business side as well. So this is my thing. I made a wish list of how the Skins could fix, you know, their situation, even with Bruce Allen. Number one, bring Greg Williams back.
That's not happening. He's going to the Jets.
No, you hear reports now. Look, it's not a done deal. It's not a done deal. Reports.
Come on, stop.
No, wishing. No, real talk. No, it's
reports. I understand that.
It's the truth.
But let me ask you this.
Yeah.
Greg Williams was once employed here, correct?
Yes.
Greg Williams had it in his contract that he would be the next coach of this team when Joe Gibbs retired, correct?
Yeah.
Joe Gibbs retired.
He didn't get the job. Yeah, him and Dan had it.
What's still consistent about this franchise then that's still here now?
Dan Snyder.
Why the hell would I come back to a man who reneged on his word for me?
I'm going to tell you.
I don't know Greg Williams for a fact,
yeah,
but Greg Williams looks like a man and carries himself like a man who has a strong principle and moral base.
No, he does. So
why the hell would I come back to work for this organization?
So I'm going to tell you. The reports are they squashed it out. And they're actually on good terms. This is a report. This is the only reason why he's even interested. He does have an interest due to reports at the Skins job. So it has whatever happened. It's been, I won't say squash 110%, but it's been to a point where he can now think of himself coming back to this organization. That's it's out there. The report is out there by JP Finley from Comcast Sportsnet. So it's out there.
JP Finley is willing to stick by that, but I'm just me personally, just being a passive observer of this. Why the hell would I come back and work for this man? Work for this organization?
No, I get
now.
You. If you read it,
hold on.
Right.
And then also work for a coach that, quite frankly, I showed in 8 games that I can outcoach you than you did in 4 years.
But this actually helps my point. What is trendy in the NFL right now of head coaches?
Offensive.
And a younger guy, right?
Younger offensive.
Okay,
mastermind.
So what is the good situation for a guy like Greg Williams what's a good situation for a guy like Greg Williams?
To go to a lame duck situation. A lame duck situation so he can come back and be the head
coach. There you go.
that's too much for me.
I'm just telling you.
But then also you have to look at the downside of it, right? Okay. Let's say Jay Gruden is a lame duck head coach. You fire Jay Gruden. He takes over. Greg Williams takes over.
Greg Williams is now signed with the Jets. Someone just tweeted me that.
Okay,
so.
Yeah, and I told you that. I was trying to save you, bro. Won't you allow me to produce you? Allow me to save you. Before you jump off the deep end.
What did I just tell you earlier? I argue when even I'm wrong. I just said this.
Allow me to help you help yourself, brother.
Hey, thanks, Todd. I appreciate that. Okay, so I'm going to skip to my next one. If I can't get Greg, bring back DeSean Jackson. I need DeSean Jackson. Bring back DeSean Jackson. He's going to he wants out of Tampa. He said he wants to come back to DC.
Bruce Arians already said that he wants DeSean Jackson.
I'm just saying. I said bring back DeSean. That's on the wish list.
Well, no. If I'm looking at it, if I'm DeSean Jackson, why would I come back?
He said he wants to come back.
But he's
verbally
with the coaching change that you've made with Bruce Arians. What does Bruce Arians like
no,
to do?
No, he likes to throw the ball down. No, I'm with you on that. Like Bruce Arians is a good fit, but if they're done with DeSean, I'm just saying if they're done with DeSean, bring him back to DC. Third, sign Teddy Bridgewater.
I can respect that.
All right, sign Teddy Bridgewater. You know, because Alex it doesn't like Alex will probably come back to mid part of the season or not won't come back at all. Or consider if Jay is so fixated on getting Colt McCoy as a quarterback, also get Geno Smith to make him another backup. Because Geno Smith is a backup. I don't need look. What happened this season? They lost. The Skins lost. How many quarterbacks? Josh Johnson. So it's 3 quarterbacks. You'll have Geno, Colt, Teddy. But I would if Teddy can't come here and you're making Colt the quarterback, you definitely give me Geno as his backup and you can keep Josh Johnson.
Okay.
You know what I mean? I'm just as a backup.
Keep going with your list.
All right. Then I would re-sign HaHa Clinton Dix because I feel like it's unfair for a guy to come to trade for him in the middle part of the season and expect him to be a baller as a safety. This dude ain't Ed Reed. What do you want from him?
Okay.
All right. Then re-sign. And also, make sure you keep my man Monte Nicholson, even though he stole somebody.
Okay.
You know, keep him under contract. draft a guard in the first round because they need guard help. Right. This I'm working to fix the whole situation, and it moved to a 4-3.
Okay. Well, there's one suggestion that you omitted that I think was a very loud.
My man said I can get behind signing Teddy Bridgewater.
Was a very loud request by the fan base, and that's get rid of Greg Minuski.
Oh, that was the Greg Williams thing. I thought it was all tied together.
Okay,
all
right.
Look, I lost
Greg. That's what I was saying. You lost, and I was going to say you lost Greg Williams, but Greg Minuski's still here.
Look, man, there's a guy on ESPN.
Rex Ryan?
Oh, yeah.
Would he want to work for Jay Gruden?
Again, lame duck. if I'm Daniel Snyder, I'm preaching the lame duck mentality. This dude fails, it's your job. And if you do well, you're getting another job somewhere else.
I think Rex Ryan gets to do what he wants to do. One of the things he does best, which is talk.
He does talk a lot of crap. Yes. I'm saying lame duck mentality, man. I have some tweets to read out, but it's time to go to break. When we get back from break, we're gonna talk about the NFL divisional games. The people must have forgot. I'm gonna hit you with the Roy Jones joint. Like the Patriots, folks, everybody had the Chargers winning. I did too. But y'all must have forgot.
I had the Chargers winning.
Yeah, me too. You listen to Urban Sports Today.
For ages.
You dig?
Deuces.
Listen to the Urban Sports Scene here with Will T. I'm Wally. We got a tweet about what the Redskins can do to be a contender next season. At Lion Gluten tweeted, absolutely nothing to be a contender. They first need new ownership. That has to happen before anything will get better. And that ain't going to happen. So the three fans left will just have to settle for their perpetual misery. Tough. At HM Brewer 72 tweeted, resign Adrian Peterson. I want Adrian Peterson, but I just think that's not going to happen, especially when you have guys coming back and AP may get better offers.
Look, Daniel Snyder follows the same playbook.
Yeah.
He sees the fans starting to flee away. He does one thing. What's that? He makes a big sign and a splashy sign, and it gets everyone excited.
Yeah.
I mean, he'll get fans even more excited this year because you don't have a quarterback in house, so you get to draft a shiny new toy.
So about drafting a shiny toy. At HM Brewer 72 added, try to find some way to keep the team healthy most of the season. Find a defensive coordinator who can keep the defense playing to a high level all season long. Draft well, promote, and pay those in the front office who are doing a good job. Yeah, and I feel you on that one. Quit being dumbasses in how things are run. My man at Mo of Niger tweeted, hi, Greg Williams. Sorry, Mo, that's not happening, obviously.
But I'm sorry to keep, you know, to stay on the subject because I know we got other things to talk about.
Yeah, no, okay.
But we just think about, like, all the young head coaches, the young coaches that have become head coaches.
Yeah.
That were here in this building.
Yeah.
Kyle Shanahan.
Yeah, still the jury's out on that one.
Jury's out on that. Matt LaFleur, who was hired by the Packers.
Yeah, living off of the McVay thing. But go ahead.
And then Sean McVay. You had...
Okay, this is the thing about Sean McVay.
You had Bill Walsh.
Okay, so this is the thing.
In your building.
Right, okay, this is a great...
You might have had the modern day Bill Walsh in your building.
But work with me on this, though, about Sean McVay.
I'll follow your logic.
All right, work with me on Sean McVay. Sean McVay wouldn't win here. Do you know why he wouldn't win here? Look, what are the Rams doing different from what the Skins are doing? Like, the Rams are putting the front office is way better than what the Skins have here. So, like, for instance, his first year, as soon as they got McVay, they brought in Wade Phillips. Right, Wade Phillips came. One of the best defensive minds in football, right?
But I'm going to cut you off right there.
Yeah.
Wade Phillips wanted to work here.
No, I agree. I know, because he saw the intelligence who wanted to work here.
Yes, he wanted to work here.
But they didn't. They dropped
Jay
the ball.
Jay Gruden didn't want to hire him.
Exactly. So what I'm just saying, they dropped the balls. I'm just saying, like, they dropped the ball. Then they made the trade to get Sammy Watkins Jr. They added, Sammy Watkins. Mm-hmm. They had that player. Look what they did this season to get better, to improve their team. Their team was already talented. Folks know they were already talented. They just need the appropriate coach. Now, look what they did the following season. They didn't rest on their laurels. What did they do? Brandon Cooks. Tlaib. Peters. Sue. Like, that organization wants to win. The Skins don't want to. Like, he wouldn't win here. Like, could he win with freaking a lame duck quarterback and Kirk Cousins? They let Deshaun Johnson go. Dotson? Could he win with Dotson? No. The talent that the Rams have is totally different. He's a good coach. He's a great offensive mind. But the Rams, that organization, they help him out. Here, he would not be successful. Not here.
Didn't the guy who's going to get hired, supposedly he's going to be hired, Zach Taylor, for the
Bengals? He was the Rams. He's with the Rams.
Oh, no. Wasn't he
No,
here?
He wasn't here. He was with McVay. It's He was a Nebraska dude. He wasn't here.
Okay.
I could be wrong, but I thought
at one point he was here, but yeah, I could be wrong.
Yeah, I could be wrong. If I read correctly, he was with McVay.
Okay.
And he just, McVay breathes on you and everybody wants to sign you. Right? McVay is like Jesus.
I'm not going to go that.
I know.
But, no, I mean, you know, it just goes to show how much this is a copycat
league.
It
is, though. It really is. I mean, look at the dude from Texas Tech. Come on, man.
Clint Kingsbury.
Come on, man.
That was a joke.
Come on, man. Because he got the McVay look. Now we're in a whole different way. Now we're going a whole different way with this, though, because he had the McVay look. All right. In the AFC divisional games, the Kansas City Chiefs defeated the Colts 13.
Two
31.
Old and ugly coaches.
I know. Yeah. What? Get it done, though. We're getting it done. 31-13. And then the Patriots beat the Chargers 41-48. First, your thoughts on the Colts-Chiefs game.
I was surprised it got away from the Colts that much.
Yeah, me too.
I thought this would be a closer game, but I'm definitely happy that the Chiefs won.
Mm-hmm.
I'll just be honest with you, man. I haven't been watching a whole lot of football.
Wow, okay.
But one of the things that I did come away impressed with was the Chiefs' defense. The way they really got after Andrew Luck.
Mm-hmm.
And the way that they stopped the run. Because I thought that that was going to be the Colts' biggest advantage, being able to run on the Chiefs' defense and being able to slow the game down and, you know, make Patrick Mahomes press a little bit to make throws, you know, because of all the time that they would be able to chew up off the clock.
No, I agree. I mean, the Chiefs' defense balled. They held Andrew Luck to 203 passing yards. Luck was sacked three times. Justin Houston, you know, balled out. He had two sacks in that game. They shut down Mac. Mac, if you looked at what Mac was doing prior to that game, he was getting over 100 yards. He played well in the playoff. The playoff game against Texans.
Texans.
Yeah, played well over 100 yards. They limited him to about 46 yards. T.Y. Hilton, who, you know, was a game changer, wasn't a game changer in the game against the Chiefs. So the Chiefs dominated the game. They didn't really have to, like, rely on Mahomes as much because Damian Williams was over 100 yards, I believe, like 129 yards. So Andy Reid's game plan was pretty cool. Like, the Colts' run defense was decent this season, even with that young inside linebacker in Leonard out of South Carolina State. They negated him, and Damian Williams ran free. And again, you didn't have to put that much on in this game, that much on Mahomes, because the running game was so strong.
Touche.
Let's go to the Patriots Chargers game. We talked about this a little bit. The Patriots beat the Chargers 41-28. I didn't like the game plan. You didn't like the game plan. How come you didn't like the game plan in this game? For
zone.
The Chargers, by the Chargers, yeah.
Zone. Mm-hmm. You played a lot of zone against Tom Brady. Tom Brady picks teams apart.
Eats that crap alive.
Yeah, teams that just play zone. You got to come after Tom Brady, throw him off his spot, give him different looks.
Mm-hmm.
But then again, excuse me, it's the Patriots at home.
Yeah.
I don't know why we continuously doubt them. I just thought this Chargers team was a better team, better equipped to beat them.
I thought so too.
But, you know, Bill Belichick is the best at self-scouting and also scouting his opponents and coming up with a weakness and really honing in on that weakness and really tearing you apart.
No, I'm with you. I thought that the Chargers team was a good road team throughout the whole season. They're the best. I believe they're like the best team in the NFL on the road. And they went against the Patriots and they got dominated. They were dominated early. Sony Michel dominated the game, had 3 rushing touchdowns, over 100 yards. The Chargers couldn't stop him.
James White had 15 catches.
No, 15 catches. See, that's
like under 100 yards.
97 yards. Okay, this is what I'm talking about. Our real talk, this is what I'm talking about. We've seen this style of play defensively when the Pittsburgh Steelers play the Patriots. That's why the Patriots always beat the Steelers. When the Patriots play the Ravens, an aggressive defense, like straight up press coverage, blitzing you, playing physical man mano a mano, they struggle. Home or on the road, they struggle. They don't dominate that type of team. The Chargers have all the tools to play that style. They have 2 great pass rushers in Ingram and Bosa. They have the safety in Derwin James who can shadow a Gronk. You have Hayward who's one of the better cornerbacks in football. You can't press. You can't play a physical style of a physical brand of football rather than zone. When you play that team, you had the wrong game plan. And you had 7 DBs. You didn't like you had. Of course, they're going to run on that. You didn't play physical enough. And that's why they're sitting home.
Yeah, I was disappointed. You know, I think I told you before the season, I was on, I documented, I thought it was going to be the Super Bowl of L.A.
I had the Chargers, too. I was with you, bro. I had the Chargers, too.
Chargers versus the Rams.
I had Chargers skins, obviously, you know, because I always had the skins.
I had Chargers Rams in the Super Bowl. I think now we're going to see the Chiefs Saints. In the Super Bowl,
I think that's favorite. I'm rooting for the. We'll talk about it though. But yeah.
Yeah, I want Andy Reid definitely get it.
Yeah, I think Andy Reid has a good chance. I think he has a good chance. We'll recap the NFC divisional games after the break. Listen to Urban Sports Thing.
For ages.
You dig?
Deuces.
Did a lot of things in my day. I admit it, I don't take back what I say. If I said it, then I meant it. All my life I won a Grammy, but I probably never get it. I ain't never had no trophy or no motherfucking ribbon. Fuck the system, I'm that bend the law, cut the rules. I'm about to risk it all. I ain't got too much to lose. Y'all been eating long enough. It's my turn to cut the food. Pass the plate with my drink. This my day. Lucky you, hope you do. Woo! Y'all gotta move. Y'all gotta move.
Listen to Urban Sports Day with Wally. Will T raised out. My man Taj on Twitter said Marvin Lewis, Redskins defensive coordinator. What do you think about Marvin Lewis, Will T?
I don't think that'll happen.
I don't think.
Why would Marvin Lewis come work for his
old offensive coordinator?
Yeah, I just don't.
I know that's a little iffy. I don't
think that would happen.
I would love to see that dynamic though. I won't lie. That would be good for TV. HBO, and plus, you know, if they did like a Hard Knocks with that situation.
I mean, this team is technically eligible for Hard Knocks this offseason.
That's what I'm saying. It's a look. It's a look that could be made, Will T.
I hear you.
It's a look that could be made. All right, Cowboys lost to the Rams, 30-22. I mean, as a Skins fan, that made me happy. But your thoughts of the game?
Again, that's another game that I didn't really get a chance to catch. But I coming into the game, I thought that the Cowboys had a decent opportunity to beat the Rams. But Sean McVay came up with a game plan that allowed Todd Gurley and C.J. Anderson to rush for 100-plus yards.
They went ham each. They both went ham. I mean, Gurley only had 16 carries and 100 yards. Like, Gurley was – I feel like he was – I don't think Gurley was 110%. I think they wanted to rest him. And, you know, C.J. Anderson was quite physical in that game. Obviously, to me, that's how they won the game. Goff didn't have to do that much. Almost what I was talking about with Mahomes. Mahomes did more than Goff. But there was no pressure on the young quarterbacks between those two. And definitely for golf, when you have a guy like you mentioned, C.J. Anderson, 123 yards, Gurley 116, over 200 yards of rushing, running the football. Between those two, they dominated the football game. And then on the defensive side, you had Donald ball, Sue was balling. You know, they held Zeke to under to about, I want to say, 46 yards, and he averaged about 2.3 yards a carry. So, or 47 yards, excuse me, he averaged 2.3 yards a carry. So, they dominated.
They did.
Mm-hmm. And if you take
that's
away,
why they won.
Exactly, that's why they won. And if you take away,
that's my analysis.
Exactly. And if you take away Zeke, where everybody knows, you take away Zeke, you're pretty much beating the Cowboys.
Yeah, one-dimensional team. Mm-hmm. The defense can't play on that high of a level
forever.
Yeah, you know. So, but if I was Dallas, I would be highly encouraged.
They should.
Yeah, I mean, they made it. They made it to this far in the season. Then you also you have cap room, and plus you don't have a starter. I think over the age of 30.
They're young.
Somewhere.
They're young.
It's a relatively young team.
And their defense, all they got to do is cut this whole Sean Lee loss. Like they cut Sean Lee. And just go with the young boys and Smith and Vander Esch. I think that I know Sean Lee's a guy that's very important to the organization, but I think if they really want to go forward for real, like, you know, the sentimental thing has to end, because those two boys are like that. They shouldn't be sharing no snaps unless tired. Those two dudes are like that. All right. Saints defeated the Eagles, the Philadelphia Eagles, 20-14. I know you watched that game. Thoughts?
I watched a little bit of it. I didn't watch a whole lot of it. Like I told you, man, I didn't watch a whole lot of football.
Okay.
I know that the Eagles were up 14-0.
Yeah,
I know that after the fake punt is when the game pretty much got out of hand for them.
Yeah.
But look, you ask anyone that follows the NFL, that follows football, if they told you that the Eagles will hold the Saints to under 20 to 20
win.
Points.
They would win.
On the road,
they'd win.
You would have said no.
The Eagles will win.
The Eagles won. Won.
Yeah,
Eagles
I agree.
Win
no, game. I agree. Defense played. They did their part.
Defense played their part.
Yeah. On the road, held the Saints to 20. Did their part.
You know, I know directly after the game, and you know, the day after, everyone was blaming Alshon Jeffrey for the loss. No, it's not on Alshon. You know, a lot of guys didn't make plays when they needed to.
Yeah.
So let's not put it all on Alshon Jeffrey, and let's not put it all on Doug Peterson for trying to speed up the last 2 minutes and get into the end zone.
I have no issue with Alshon. I mean, I don't think Alshon was to blame. My question to folks watching the game is, if Alshon made that catch, who's to say that, you know, they score a touchdown?
Absolutely.
You know what I mean? Like, to be honest with you, the game changed by watching the game. The game changed when the Saints decided to play bumping, you know, press up coverage with Lattimore, Marcus Lattimore, and Apple. And from that after that, to be honest with you, Nick Foles wasn't making the throws. So he wasn't making the throws that he was making in that first quarter. So he wasn't as accurate. So, to me, I'm not blaming Nick Foles, but I'm just saying, like, he wasn't as accurate. There are other individuals
that
you can blame.
Yeah, there are other things. Jason Peters went out of the game.
Yeah, that hurt, too. When Jason Peters went out, that hurt?
That hurt. So,
uh-huh.
I mean, I don't know what more you want me to say about it, considering I'm a guy who didn't.
But you feel like the Eagles –
I think the Eagles had –
They choked? Would you say they choked?
No, I wouldn't say they choked. I just think that the Saints – Sunday were the superior team, mm-hmm. and once things, you know, and there was a shift in the game plan,
mm-hmm.
and once the Saints went bump and run,
yeah, it changed up.
It changed, and then also they started moving Michael Thomas around a little bit more. And Michael Thomas, he did what Michael Thomas did. That's why he's one of the top three or four receivers in the NFL.
I think going into the game, if you said defensively, they've stepped up, but if you had to say what was their weakness defensively, it wasn't, you know, them stopping the run. I had no issue that the Eagles could, you know, maintain and could handle Kamara and Ingram. It was more playing against somebody like Michael Thomas. The cornerback play, secondary play wasn't there. If you look at breaking down their team, their defensive team, their front sevens will hold them down. If Michael Thomas is if you can find a way to isolate Michael Thomas or certain cornerbacks, that's an advantage for the Saints.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So it's not him putting up numbers. Again, numbers are numbers. And then he had a great game, but you held the team to 20 points. You get what I'm saying?
That's all you could ask for.
On the road against the Saints.
the road against the Saints, yeah, Drew Brees, Sean Payton, you held them under 20, and you know, you were up 14-0.
Yeah, so to be honest with you, I look at it as more, all right, for real, offense, step up. Give me 21.
Yeah, I mean, and then that goes to show, you know, everyone saying, you know, there's a debate amongst fans or certain factions, you know,
about Foles and it's Wentz. Wentz is automatic.
Yeah, I mean,
it's not even that. It's not.
I think the difference, the biggest difference between those two is, I think Carson Wentz would have broke containment a couple times and made some plays, extended a couple of plays, opposed to Nick Foles, where he stayed very stationary in the pocket and you know, tried to wait it out or tried to, you know, throw a receiver open.
Yeah, so I mean, the Eagles had a good run. Keep Carson Wentz. This whole Nick Foles thing, I think, is a little overblown. Folks need to stop exaggerating things. But we'll preview the NFL championship game after break. Listen to Urban Sports Thing.
For ages.
You dig?
Deuces.
I got loyalty, got royalty inside my DNA. Quarter piece, got war and peace inside my DNA. I got power, poison, pain, and joy inside my DNA. I got hustle, though, ambition, flow inside my DNA. I was born like this, and sworn like this, immaculate conception. I transform like this, perform like this, which yells you a new weapon. I don't contemplate, I meditate, then off your head. This that put the kids to bed, this that I got realness. I just kill sh- cuz it's in my DNA. I got millions, I got riches building in my DNA. I got dark, I got evil that rot inside my DNA. I got off, I got trouble, some heart inside my DNA. I just win again, then win again, like Wimbledon I serve. Yeah, that's him again, the sound, the engine in his lightning bird. You see fireworks and Corvette tire skirt, the boulevard. I know how you work, I know just who you are. See, use it. Joe almost probably switches out your DNA. Problem is, all that sucker shit inside your DNA.
You're listening to the Urban Sports Scene, Will T and myself, Wally. Check out Ray Jeezy's out. Check out the Football Garbage Time podcast at www.footballgarbagetime.com. It's a great podcast, great show. Supposed to be on the show sometime in February, you know, as a guest. Sunday at 3:05 p.m. Eastern Standard Time in the NFC Championship game, the Saints take on the Rams in New Orleans for a ticket to the Super Bowl. Who wins and why?
I'm gonna go with the Saints.
Okay.
I go back and forth about this one.
I'm
gonna go with the Saints just because they're at home.
Mm-hmm. I mean, I think that that's a reasonable.
I think that's a reasonable way to look at it. Mm-hmm. I'm going with the Saints at home. I believe that the Saints will be able to contain the run well enough.
Mm-hmm.
To make Jared Goff have to make all make a lot of plays that he hasn't been accustomed to making this year, or when he's had to make them, that the team has struggled.
Mm-hmm.
So that's why I'm gonna go with the Saints.
I'm gonna go with the Rams only because I messed my dude Marcus Peters, and he talked junk about Sean Payton. So he gonna see him, get some gumbo. He gonna see him. He used some not nice words to express himself. But I love Marcus Peters. He's one of my favorite NFL players. Why? Because he keeps the buck. He says what he feels, and he's not scared. He ain't scared of noise. He ain't scared to smoke. So I love Marcus Peters. I'm rooting for Marcus Peters. I'm rooting for Todd Gurley. And be honest with you, I can't stand Sean Payton. That's one of my main things.
Has Sean Payton ever done?
No,
to you?
You know when a coach is just too arrogant. Like, it's almost like, dude, you arrogant, but you ain't like
that's
Bill Belichick. Bill
that's
Belichick is arrogant, but he's won championships. Like, you know what I mean? Sean Payton won that one. And now it's like, dude, you mouthing off the players. Like he's extra like that. He mouths off the players now. Like, you know what I mean? Like, you ain't Coach Belichick. If anybody was to do it, it's dudes that have won multiple championships or on this status of being like GOAT like. But you're not that dude. Like, you're a great offensive mind, though. A great offensive mind.
Yeah, I mean, come to think of it, how many coaches in the NFL
had one more. Exactly, bro. Exactly. No, what in the current Mike Tomlin has one.
Mike Tomlin has one. John Gruden has one.
Yeah, you're right.
Yeah.
And all these dudes getting paid just as much as Bill Belichick.
Yeah. So, I mean, how many?
No, it's a good point. It's a very good point.
Well, no, Harbaugh
has one.
Yeah, he has one. Yeah, John Harbaugh has one. Yeah,
that's one. He's done well, but he has one.
Yeah, he has one.
Yeah, they're not doing it like Coach Belichick talking trash like he's doing something big. What else? I have? All right, so let's move to the. I already said mine. Let's
move
to
the Rams. I got the Saints.
But I do think Gurley's gonna go. I think Gurley's gonna go out. I mean, show out. I think that combination of Gurley and CJ Anderson will be the key for
that. Yeah, that's the thing that has me. You know, let's say you do shut down.
One
Todd Gurley.
CJ Anderson's a problem. It's a different style.
He's built like a bowling ball now.
He's eating well. Similar to the Saints have a good dynamic duo in Ingram and Kamara.
Yeah.
Two different styles. One is in between the tackles, one is more perimeter based.
I feel like with those two you could do not most of the stuff, but some of the things.
I think that would help the Saints compared to the Rams is that Sean, and this is not a knock on Sean Payton. It's because who he has as quarterback, his ego will play a part. You know what I mean? Because you have a Drew Brees and you are Sean Payton, a guy who has incorporated a nice passing offense. You may go away from somebody like a Kamara and Ingram. While and with the Rams, their best player offensively is Gurley, so you're going to be more favorable to give Gurley the ball, right?
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? So I think that could play a part, only because of, again, Sean Payton's ego. All right, Sunday at 6:40 p.m. Eastern Standard Time in the AFC Championship game, the Patriots must travel to Arrowhead to take on the Chiefs. Who wins that game and why?
I want the Chiefs to win.
I want the Chiefs to win, too. And the conditions are terrible. It's going to be snowy. It's going to be under...
It's going to be like 10 degrees.
5 degrees. I heard 5 degrees is the max. That's what I heard.
Yeah. I mean, it's going to be nice for me to sit in my warm. Sit in the warmth and watch that game. Because I'm not going anywhere.
I wouldn't either.
I want the Chiefs to win.
Mm-hmm.
But, the Chiefs are going to win.
Mm-hmm.
I think that the Chiefs they aren't going to rely on a lot of zone defense. They're going to come after Tom Brady.
Yeah.
They're going to try to be physical at the line. And plus, they may have their all-world, all-pro safety, Eric Berry, back for this game.
I think that's important. Eric Berry, if he's healthy and able to do his normal thing, him against Gronk is a matchup. Because Eric Berry has, in the past, has shown to strap up Gronk. So,
yeah, but then again, man, it's Belichick.
I know. It's like doubt. Again, it's like doubting.
But I don't think Tom Brady and Bill Belichick have won an AFC championship game on the road.
Yeah, they haven't in a while.
They're
pretty bad. Their record is pretty bad. I think Tom Brady's 0-4 in his last four opportunities. 0-4 in the last four opportunities.
Yeah, I don't think they've won an AFC championship game on the road. I mean, we can get our intern.
No, they haven't. They haven't. You're right. Yeah. No, you're right. Yeah. So, and with Tom Brady, no, you're definitely right. He did with Drew Bledsoe when they beat the Steelers years ago. Not with Tom Brady, though. Yeah. So, I just like, again, you said everything that I like, having Eric Berry. Eric Berry plays. The Chiefs are getting healthier. Sammy Watkins played last week, played well. You got obviously Hill. Tyreek Hill was a problem. He balled against him in that Sunday night game a couple weeks back. You know, and it's a revenge type of thing. You know what I mean? They beat them. The Patriots beat the Chiefs in a competitive game on Sunday night at Gillette Stadium. This game is at Arrowhead. It's hard to play at Arrowhead. You got a young boy in Mahomes who looks like he's just that dude. You got a decent running game in Damian Williams. Great weapons all around the board. You got Kelsey, who's a problem. You know what I'm saying? So I like the Chiefs. I think Chiefs just have more weapons. And I think they'll have a better game plan compared to what we saw with the Chargers.
Let me ask you this. Madison Avenue, NFL headquarters, which matchup do you think they want?
Oh, I think I think initially what they wanted would have been the
no, I mean out of
now these four teams. Yeah. I think they want the I know they want the Rams. It's mm-hmm. LA. They want the Rams. They want the Chiefs. They want Mahomes. It's money. It's Chiefs and Rams. They want that money. Sean, like you have the golden boy now in terms of coaches and Sean McVay. You know what I mean? It's the LA team. They like the glitzy team right now. And then you got the golden child right now in freaking Mahomes, the MVP.
You don't think they want the clash of two iconic.
No, they don't want that
iconic.
They don't want that old game. They don't want that old
quarterbacks
game.
Quarterbacks when Brady versus Brees.
Nah, I don't think they want that game. I don't think the NFL. I think all games, I think all the games, whoever the outcome of every game is an ideal situation for a Super Bowl. I think we both can say that, right?
Yes. You're going to get two dynamic offenses.
Exactly.
In the Super Bowl.
So either way, you win out. But I think in terms of like that
what
new school.
What would be more marketable?
I think that new school. Yeah, I think that new school thing.
Okay, all
right. I think it'll be in.
I mean, that's like, what we disagree.
You think it would be? I mean, I think it's you're right. I mean, you're going to have.
I think you would get the highest viewership with Brady versus Brees.
I don't deny that. But that Mahomes kid is very is money though. He money. Mahomes is money though.
Okay.
He is. But no, I'm with you. I think that obviously iconic speak. Talking about iconic quarterbacks, right? Yeah. I mean, it's a big deal. I won't even argue that. It's a big deal. But I don't know. You had me thinking about that, Wilty. I don't know about that one. So we posed a question on our Urban Sports Team Facebook page: who will advance the Super Bowl and why? And you also tweet us at Urban Sports Scene. Hit us up on our Urban Sports Scene Facebook page. On Facebook, Sean Gardner said the Rams and the Chiefs both want revenge, so he has both of those teams winning. On Twitter, my man Taj, what's up, Taj? Said if the weather reports are accurate, I got Brady versus Brees in the Super Bowl. Oh, man, Brady versus Brees.
I mean, I think the AFC game is going to be a classic game, man. It's going to be one of those like ice ball type of games.
You think it's going to be that type of game?
Yeah, I think Kansas City is going to try to come out and run the ball.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that you're going to have the Patriots are going to come out and try to run the ball also. So I think it's going to be one of those old school. Yeah. Classic, nasty, physical football games.
I think, yeah. I mean, when the weather like that's that cold, teams are gonna run the football. They're gonna run the football.
And it's gonna be cold here Sunday too. Oh,
how cold gonna be Sunday? That cold up here?
Yeah.
Shoot. Well, I'll be inside. I ain't worried about that too. Crap. All right. Are the Wizards a better team when Bill leads the squad? We'll talk about that after the break. Listen to the Urban Sports Thing.
For ages.
You did.
Deuces.
I love the NBA on NBC theme song, man. I love it. Man. It's one of my favorite.
Yeah,
things.
I'm
telling you, man.
That's one of the things I get nostalgia when I hear that.
Yeah,
like,
man, it's amazing.
Even though I think the NBA is better now.
What you mean it's better? The brand is better,
I think they're far. I think they're better athletes.
Oh yeah. I get you.
I think the talent is a little bit more superior
mm-hmm.
now. But that's just my opinion.
No. I agree. I think the talent is. I think this is what I feel like. The talent is better in terms of skill set. The skill set is better. The athletes are better. I think the basketball IQ isn't better. That's the only thing that I think is different. I think that takes you up to the up team level. Like, you know, a player like Larry Bird, who's not athletic, his IQ was like off the charts, and I think he was still ball. Yeah. Like, it's like Luka. Luka's a prime example. Like, Luka's an intelligent basketball player.
Yeah.
And that's why he's really good.
Yep.
You know what I mean? So, Sunday, the Washington Wizards lost. I'm sorry, you listen to Urban Sports, say myself, Wally Will T. Sunday, the Washington Wizards lost to the Toronto Raptors in double overtime, 140-138. The team was down 23 at a point. Bradley Beal led the team with a triple-double, 43 points, 15 assists, 10 rebounds. Is this team better with Bradley Beal leading the way?
Let me ask you this. Mm-hmm. Are we saying John Wall is on the team and Bradley Beal, like the ball fence runs through Brad, or are we just saying John Wall isn't
very
on the team?
That's a very good Bradley point. Let's Beal, just say... With John Wall on the team, Bradley Beal leading the way. Like, he's the go-to guy. He's the guy doing controlling the action.
I'm going to have to go with a yes.
Okay.
Only reason why, Bradley Beal's jump shot, the way the game is played now, Bradley Beal's jump shot allows you to space the floor a little bit more often. Uh-huh. Even though I know that this team, you know, with John Wall is able to beat anyone, you know, from a straight line. He's as fast. He's probably one of the faster players in the NBA.
Agreed.
And John Wall's a better. He can find an open. He can manipulate the defense and find an open man more than better than Brad. But
he's becoming a better passer. 15 assists on Sunday.
Yeah, he's
becoming better.
He's becoming a better passer, but. I think this team is far. They pound the ball less when the ball goes to Bradley Beal.
Agreed.
The ball moves a little. There's a little bit more flow to the ball.
So I'm gonna get to that. So like to me, the Wizards are 7-5 without John Wall. They're 7-5. That's their record without John Wall. Bradley Beal, since John Wall has gone down, Bradley Beal has averaged about 30 points per game. He's also averaged about 6 assists. He's brought up his game. We both can acknowledge that Bradley Beal has brought up his game in terms of what he can do as a ball handler and actually as a playmaker. He's improved. But this is my thing. I don't think that this team is better with Bradley Beal leading the way. It's not a knock on Bradley Beal. I just feel like it's hard to say because I'm gonna put this on the coach, and I've said this before. When you look at Scott Brooks, to me, he doesn't know how to coach two guys who are ball dominant individuals. Right. We saw that in OKC when he was in OKC with Durant and Westbrook, why they to many they underachieved.
Mm-hmm.
You can look at it here because with Randy Whitman, this team was more successful in postseason play. Right. We would say that. Right. Like when John Wall got hurt in the Atlanta series, if he didn't get hurt, they're winning that series. Right.
Mm-hmm.
And Bradley Beal in the postseason was scoring 25-26. You know what I mean? So he was a scorer in the postseason. But with John Wall leading the way with that team, the way that offense was constructed, with Sam Cassell there in the building too, they were a better offense. So I don't know if I can put all the blame on John Wall. There are things that John Wall has done wrong this season, coming into the season a little bit out of shape. We could say that. But I like to think of it like we could put the onus on Scott Brooks. How come you can't come up with an offense that both of these dudes can flourish? And the team can win.
I think that's fair. I think that's extremely fair. I have to question. I don't know. I have to question the construct, how this team is constructed.
Mm-hmm.
You know that it can flourish offensively. There's the ball. You know that. Well, no, not constructed. The flow of the offense and the play calling.
Mm-hmm.
If when Bradley Beal is your primary ball handler.
Uh-huh.
The ball, there's a lot more flow into the offense opposed to when John Wall is in, when he's the primary ball handler and playmaker. So,
which is weird because John Wall is a good assist man, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Which is a weird thing, right?
I mean, the numbers would show you that.
The numbers would show you that he's a good assist man, and if you watch him play under Randy Whitman, it's a different style. But to me, John wasn't pounding the ball. I call it mellowing the basketball. He wasn't like pounding the ball.
Stop giving my.
I love him. You know what? You know a mellow dude. I'm a mellow dude. I'm a mellow dude. But I'm just saying that. You know, John would pound the ball with Randy Whitman. I don't think he did that. I mean, sorry, under Scott Brooks, he didn't do that a lot to me under Randy Whitman. Like you saw guys like Otto, like for instance, in that postseason when they played well, Otto Porter was getting touches. Paul Pierce was getting touched. Like, all these dudes were getting touches. And that's under John Wall, a guy that everybody says is a ball dominating individual. So I don't know. In my opinion, I don't think John Wall, I mean, is as bad as people make him out to be in terms of him playing with Bradley Beal or, you know, leading the team or whatnot. So to you, you know, looking at what Bradley Beal is doing, is he an all-star? You know, it's tough, man. It's tough. That, you know, it's tough.
I'm going through it in my head.
All right, you know they do it by guards. It's not like shooting guards. It's like guards now.
Yeah,
right?
So you got a Kyrie.
Mm-hmm. Kemba. Lowry. Kyle Lowry. Because he's on a winning team. I'm going to say because he's on a winning
Kyle
team.
Kyle Lowry.
Oladipo. On a winning
Victor
team.
Victor Oladipo, yes. Victor
Ben Simmons is considered a point guard.
Ben Simmons, yeah.
Yeah. And then you got Bill. So where does Bill, and even stats wise, a guy that won't make it, but his team, he has good stats actually, is Zach LaVine. He's averaging 24, about 24, but he's not going to make it.
Here.
Yeah, he's not going to make it. But you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I get what you're saying. But I would say would say Bradley Bill, yeah.
Mm-hmm. No.
I would say he's an all star.
See, to me, like after watching the Raptors game, at first I was like, okay. But after watching the Raptors game, he's an all-star to me. Like, I think the coaches will, you know, I know he's low in the voting, but the coaches should get him in because after watching it, he's an all-star. Like, he defines an all-star. Uplifting his teammates, being dominant, he defines an all-star. But, however, the names we just talked about, that's what's going to make it difficult for him to be an all-star. You dig what I'm saying?
Yeah, I get
it. Because the Wizards aren't a winning team, and then you're going to say, like, then you're thinking of people like Ben Simmons, Oladipo. The Pacers have overachieved this season. Like, people knew they'd be a good team, but they took it to the next level right now. No one thought they'd be in the top four, top five.
And then don't forget, Dwayne Wade is probably
He's
going to get the sentimental vote.
Yeah, and you got Derrick Rose on the other side. But you got Dwayne Wade. You just mentioned, yeah, he's going to take a spot. So it's going to be hard for Bradley Beal. But is he deserving of an all-star? Yeah, most definitely he's deserving of an all-star. On Facebook, my man Maurice Mo Austin hit us up and said, no, they are not a better team without John Wall. They may execute better, but they are not better. Remember, Wall has led the team in the playoffs more than Bill. Bill has gotten better the last few years, but Wall has been the leader for the team for the last 4 to 5 years, taking them to the second round in the playoffs.
That's fair. I agree. Like I said, mm-hmm. I when John Wall went down, a season ago?
Yeah.
And, you know, they ran out to like 11, you know, like yeah. 11 and 5, 11. I forgot the
Yeah,
record.
Then they came back to norm.
Yeah. And I told everyone, no, this isn't a team that's better without John Wall. Mm-hmm. But do they execute better with Bradley Beal?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, they do.
They do.
Lou Lucas said, yes, the stats speak for themselves, or just look at the players' faces. I don't really pay attention to the players' faces. Again, that's 7-5 this season without John Wall, with Bradley Beal leading the way. But is that a good enough sample size? 7-5?
I don't think so.
And we saw last season where they started off like world beaters, and then they, you know, struggled towards a certain part of the season. So they needed John Wall to finish the season out to get them into the postseason. So I don't know. Other people eat. I think you see that. Other people eat. But are they a better team? Because I feel like you still need a superior talent like John Wall when you're playing against a good defensive team, because he's a guy who can break down anybody.
And in the playoffs, when it's a 7-game series, mm-hmm. where coaches have a day and a half to adjust their strategy because everything is on film, you know everyone's plays, mm-hmm. you know their sets, you know what they like to do defensively, you need talent. Yep. John Wall is an elite talent point guard.
Yeah. You're not going to hear me argue that. He is. All right, man. It's about time to wrap this show up. Again, man, thanks to my man Will T for being here for me, man. That's my dude.
Absolutely, you know, man. I wouldn't have missed this show for anything.
My man Ray.
You know, I got one good arm.
Yeah, no, he does have one good arm, man. But he's still a soldier, though. He's a soldier, Kellen Winslow style, Jr. And my man Ray G's, who ain't making it. He didn't make it this today, but hopefully we'll have him next week. I want to say thank you to my father. He taught me a lot and taught me how to be confident, basically not take no ish from anybody and think that you're better than everybody. So anyway, you've been listening to the Urban Sports Scene.
For ages.
You dig?
Deuces.
Hey, Mega, lead us out, big homie.
Swag.